Hey guys, it's Lauren, and welcome back to the Rocket Jump Film School podcast office hours. Today we're talking with costume designer Lane McGovern. She's worked with us on Video Game High School all three seasons. She's worked on the new Hulu show, as well as a lot of the Rocket Jump shorts. And she's going to be talking about her favorite movies to watch that got her into costume design and other movies that you should check out and what you should look for if you want to start getting into wardrobe and costume design. So hope you enjoy.
Rocket Jump Film School, scene one, Apple, take one, Mark.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rocket Jump Film School Office Hours podcast, and today we're going to have Lane McGovern, the costume designer for Video Game High School and the new Hulu show, and angry video game nerd, and all the coolest stuff ever, talking to us. We also have a special guest, Penelope Cruz here, who has appeared in several videos. But
she has. She was in Jimmy's last Cat on Earth video. Mm-hmm. She was a superhero. She ran through a little trench and held a gun and shot guns.
Yeah.
I haven't even shot guns, and she has, so it's pretty impressive.
Action star Penelope Cruz. And we wanted to talk about movies to watch for costume design.
Yes.
Because not a lot, like, costume design is another one of those things that if it's really good, you don't really notice it unless you're supposed to.
Right.
So you have to feel like it's the world is believable and that kind of stuff. So let's start with, what movies did you see when growing up that kind of influenced you or like made you notice or want to get into costume design?
The first movie that comes to mind for me that kind of made me realize costumes was a thing for movies was Three Amigos.
Where did you get those clothes? From a movie?
Yeah, the studio gave them to us, those darn amigos.
Well, we're taking them back. Sam!
Get wardrobe over here right away. Take the amigos' clothes.
Oh, because Three
that's
Amigos.
That's amazing.
I love Three Amigos.
Yeah.
And that is my, there's only three costumes that I ever want to wear in my life, Halloween costumes, and Three Amigos is one of them. So
that's
it will
amazing.
Happen someday. But Three Amigos, because it kind of shows the world of film in the movie, they had like a costume department and they like referenced putting their costume on. And I was like, oh, like it kind of all like clicked mm-hmm. that someone had to do that. And just they were sequined Western outfits, and so they were amazing mariachi costumes. So they were just amazing costumes anyways.
Right.
But because they talked about putting their costume on when they were becoming their character, I was like, that's so cool. I was like, I want to do that. So Three Amigos, definitely. And then both my mom and I love musicals, and so just everything Barbra Streisand, because they were all Bob Mackie. They were movies designed by Bob Mackie, a lot mm-hmm. of the Barbra Streisand musicals. So just seeing those, and I mean, they're gorgeous, so seeing just what they did was pretty great.
For those who want to get into it, who is Bob Mackie?
Bob Mackie, I don't even
the
know if I can give justice.
Human being
I know,
time.
I don't know if I can give justice to who Bob Mackie is. He's an incredible designer, and he did, he's most known for Cher's costumes for her shows
mm-hmm.
and her red carpets and her
very extravagant
he was one of the first people to have a Barbie made for him. There's a Barbie by Bob Mackie,
the one with the moon and mm-hmm. then there's a star.
I feel like you just have to Google Bob Mackie and let some of the images pop up, because I'm not giving nearly enough justice to who Bob Mackie is.
Brings a image to mind.
Okay, good. Yeah. With the there was the red carpet where she had the big black like head crown piece thing.
Yeah, the head
is
piece.
One that he's really well known for. He did also the Sonny and Cher variety show for several years, mm-hmm. and so all of her costumes on the variety show, he did majority of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very interesting, especially Three Amigos. I wouldn't expect that, but anything where it like sort of pulls back the curtain and you see like a movie about making a movie, I love.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
those are hands down some of my favorite films, and mm-hmm. it's, you get a glimpse behind the scenes, and Three Amigos was quite a surprise, but very good.
Well, also the costumes are so essential to those characters too. I mean, that it's like ingrained in the iconography of that movie, so it totally makes sense.
No, and it's they had to put them on to become those people, mm-hmm. and that's what an actor's doing. They have to put their costume on to really become the character, so.
Yeah, I love that movie. That's like every time it's on Comedy Central, I don't have cable, but I used to.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, stop,
I watch it all the time.
Watch it. Yeah.
I wore out my VHS because we had it taped from HBO, and now I have it on DVD. So
Yeah.
And I think I have it on my iPad. It's like a, if there's nothing on the airplane, I'll watch it on my iPad all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's a good dive-in movie.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I'm just going to bring that up now. Yeah. Anyway, never mind.
Sidebar. Dive-ins are where you have a screen playing while you watch them in your pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's also laundry movies.
Yeah.
Laundry movies.
Laundry folders. Laundry folders.
Oh, gosh. Don't tell me. What was one of your... Laundry movies. Oh, God. What was it? Oh, shit.
I've got a lot of them.
I know, but you were watching it when you were doing Ball Pit, and you're putting the balls on the Ball Pit monster.
Oh, A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own. That was the laundry movie. Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone's got a bunch of laundry folders.
Yeah. I have a hard time sitting and watching TV and getting enwrapped. Unless Lauren's there and we're eating food and drinking beer, I can't sit and watch just like a TV show by myself. So pretty much all I watch is laundry movies.
Laundry movies. While you can work.
Yeah.
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 You know what's really good for laundry folding? This is a total derail. We'll get back into costume design.
Anything Nancy Myers?
No, well, yeah.
That's
but also,
true.
Yeah.
A really good laundry folder is actually Forensic Files on True TV.
Oh.
Because you don't have, because they're reenacting stuff, but who cares?
Okay.
You just have to listen to find out what happens.
It's true.
So you don't have to actually look up.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I learned that from my sister-in-law.
That's a good one.
That's a good
Marcy.
One. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if I should add to my watching Dateline stuff.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. The guys who murder their girlfriends they met on Tinder.
This is a big derail.
That's too real.
This is a mega derail.
So, back to costume design.
Yes, costumes.
Penny's like, let's get to the point. Before we dive into, I think, recent films that you've really liked, I was always really curious about this, and I'm sure our listeners are curious about this as well. You're responsible for a lot of creating a facet of a character and a facet and reading the script and working with the director, working with actors. And how much, like, what's the balance there? How much do you work with the director? How much do you work with the actors? Like, what's that process like before we dive in?
I mean, when you read a script, you kind of in your head already start creating that character. Mm-hmm. And then when that first meeting with the director is, it will give me an idea how much input he has to give or how little input he has to give. And just even with the different directors here at Rocket Jump, I mean, like, Matt and I's relationship is pretty 50-50. Freddie's like, I don't know, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And even Ben's kind of like, whatever you want to do also. As where Dez likes a lot more, knowing more of the details and stuff. So he has a lot more input that he gives me than some of the other directors.
Mm-hmm.
But you do, just as you're reading it, you do start to create those characters in your head anyways. And then you bring some of those ideas to the director and they're like, that's exactly what I was thinking too. And that's obviously just the work of a great writer is writing something and the director and the costume designer and the production designer all kind of see the same image come together. So it does just depend on what director you're working with, how much they want to be involved or how much they want to focus on working with the actors and let you do it. And then if they really want to step back and leave you to kind of your own process, it is then a conversation with you and the actor and how much input they have to give of, I do this all the time and really want that to be part of my costume. And so it's a constant,
that's really
talking to everybody. Yeah.
I never thought about the writer being so influential in that, which is really cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They set up your interpretation right off the bat.
Yeah.
I would hope,
Yeah.
Like a good writer would like already make you see who the person is without.
Yeah.
Yeah. Visually. So that helps if they're fleshed out.
Yeah, I would never have thought of
that. I mean, think about the first time you read Harry Potter. If you discussed it with your friends, you guys were discussing the same image, because you guys are seeing the same world that she created in writing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite period? Because, like, as we were going through on our studio or tour with Poppy.
Yeah.
She was going through the decades and stuff, and it's harder and harder to get great costuming. Further back you go, authentic clothing, and when I think of costume films, I think of, like, films that are set in a time period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could go any time period, the Renaissance, like Gladiators, Titanic, or something
Gatsby
like that,
or where something.
It's like,
yeah,
the 20s or what's your favorite period? Because those are all
probably my favorite period piece film, even though it's not really accurate, is Dick Tracy is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Dick Tracy has amazing costumes, but they're not historically accurate. They're just really fun and almost cartoon-like. But it is fun to just see even the different silhouettes. It was actually a very good blend of 20s and at that moment, modern day three-piece suits for men, and like where men had a very V-shaped figure with real broad shoulders and real skinny waists. They brought in what was current for men's fashion at that time and drew also from the 20s fashion for Dick Tracy. So that was a great movie.
Kid, your clothes don't smell very good, okay? Now, if you don't want to wear a suit, just go back in there and say you don't want to wear a suit. Otherwise, pick the suit you like.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But just for favorite period in general, I mean, the 70s are so great.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Knowing you, Lane.
Yeah. Just, I want to be at Studio 54 with Diane von Furstenberg wearing gold lamé pants. And I would have a blonde afro for sure if I was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's stopping you now?
Yeah.
What's stopping you
now? I mean, I kind of do someday, so.
That's great.
Yeah, the 70s were just awesome. It was just a new, it was the first time people were really experimenting with what they wanted to do. Right. As opposed to just like, this is what you're told to wear and here's your outfit. And yeah, the 70s are great.
I also imagine it must be cool when there's movies that, you know, are period films, but they like reimagine that time period. Like, I would say Blade Runner, right? Is one an option?
It takes place choice. In like 2029. So remnants of all kinds of.
Yeah. And it's like still, but it's still got 80s almost to it. And it's just like any sort of. I'm trying to think of another one where it goes back in time, but it reimagines, like, what if, like, steampunk, I guess, is kind of like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think a really good example of, like, of period piece and how people are interpreting things now is True Grit, the new one and the original one.
Oh, yeah.
Is old Westerns with John Wayne. No one got dirty. Like, no one has dirt on their jeans, and just everything is very clean. And it was... they were learning how to use color on film still. And so just like, there's a lot of reds and pinks. And then you look at the new True Grit with Jeff Bridges.
Right.
And it's historically accurate, but it's also things that, I mean, even Haley Steinfeld. Yeah. I'm terrible with names. She was wearing things that I feel like I could wear right now though. So they were, you know, pulling things from Western, but you know, doing things that a girl could easily wear right now and make kind of her own spin on it. Yeah, but then they were getting dirty and actual things that were happening in the film were reflecting their costume, as were old Westerns. John Wayne seemed to never get dirty.
Where'd you let me? I call that bold talk for a one-eyed fat man. Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I never even noticed
how,
that.
How do we, can we, I'm sure that this will come out by the time we've done High Plains, right? So, yes?
Oh, yeah.
More or less?
Oh, no. No, not yet.
Okay.
Maybe, okay. So
we can do non-spoilery things so they know we're doing a Western.
Things. We are doing a Western for this Hulu show. Just seeing what we're allowed to say before we ruin the whole mystique. But we rented a lot of clothes for that, did we not? And
everything worn was rented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Every single person in that short had a rented costume piece. Like, no one was able to come wearing their Rocket Jump shirt, because you guys do that all the time to me.
In that case, do you scuff them up, or do you have to preserve the rental for what it is? Like, you know,
well,
what
you,
I mean? Like,
yeah,
if you're doing
you,
a Western, do you want the John Wayne look or the True Grit?
Dirt is fine. Everyone's going to get dirt. Stuff can be washed. It's when you start shooting people is where in this one, there's bullets. And so that thing had to be purchased, the item of clothing. So I had to get multiples of them. So you can't rip rentals, you know, you can't put holes in them. You can, if you're going to put a hole in a seam, you have to fix it. But dirt's fine. Everything gets dirty. I mean, you have Western, I mean, Deadwood TV shows and stuff that it's all Western that, especially for the background, they're not making all of those things from scratch for the actors. They are rentals. So dirt's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, this is I think this is fascinating. What are some good examples of times where movies decide, you know, they're doing a period and they decide the design and style and the character are more important than historical accuracy? Is that like a big choice, or is that getting falling out of fashion?
There's a show on TV right now on a network station that could be the coolest representation of a city that we live in at the time. But they want to keep it modern. And I think that's just it's a director choice. And it's, you know, a showrunner's choice for whatever reason they want to. And I don't think this show I mean, I know some of the people who work on the show, so that's why I'm kind of able to say this.
You gotta just say it.
I don't know if I can, though. I don't want to.
No, it's okay. Yeah,
I shouldn't.
I'm really curious.
So it takes place at a different time, yet it's modern.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like you could have just like really, really cool, you know, early 80s show that I probably spoiled it right there. But they're wanting it to be a little more modern. And it's, yeah. So they're having to make, I know the designer's having to make a lot of things and design a lot of things herself, but just because it's not a look that is in costume houses right now.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So I think it's just a director and a showrunner choice. There isn't really a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. I just find that interesting that things like costume and production design can often be fudged or nudged around or designed specifically with importance to story rather than accuracy. I know there's like similar thing in editing where it's like maybe this edit doesn't make technical sense, but story-wise it feels right.
Yeah. So there can be, I mean, like there's a website that is all of the historical inaccuracies in Titanic, but people are pointing out that like an outlet on the ship is wrong. And the production designer kind of responds, it's the one we had access to. And really, are you looking at an outlet? And so there are things of, it's probably just easy. It might be easier in the moment to do that. And, but you're never purposefully, oh, well, this is not the right time period. But it does. It just makes more sense for you to wear that. And people will notice like if it's a button that was not around at that time period when you're getting, like in the 20s and earlys, and you know, you have women wearing corsets with hook and eye closures, and people are like, they didn't have hook and eyes, and you're like, I don't have time to corset somebody on set, like, and you cannot see the hook and eye. So it does come become things like that it's just, it's probably easier, it's cheaper, it's quicker, for as quick as, you know, all film is being done right now.
Well, I think that all points to like all these multiple facets of film in general, where it's, you know, it's a production, it's business, it's like it's economical, or, you know, that's an element of it. But also, what you were saying, Lauren, it's just a testament to the fact that any element of filmmaking can be manipulated. And, yeah, you're right. I don't think you normally think of, like, oh, this movie takes place in 1950, and then all the clothes must be exactly what people wore in the 1950s. Well, that's not necessarily the case. You know, you can design things to look a certain way for whatever reason.
To fit characters that just makes it feel more real rather than being actually realistic, I think. Which we're coming across that idea a lot, actually, where something feels truthful and feels more real than the actual thing. So whatever serves the story better.
I mean, our Western short that we have coming out on the Rocket Jump show, I think I know that I had stuff from everywhere from like the 1890s to like the 1920s. So I kind of covered, you know, 30 years of
a span.
Right. The men had snap front shirts, a lot of the men, just because it was easier to throw background men in a snap front shirt. And I didn't want to go get them a period piece accurate shirt. These looked cooler. So,
yeah. Makes sense. I'm trying to think of other movies.
Yeah. Well, what if someone wanted to start really looking into costume design, what are some favorite movies of yours, or movies that you think are recommended watching, or movies that have come out recently too that you were like, oh, this has really stood out to me?
Right.
What should they pay attention to, I guess?
Growing up, an amazing movie was Clueless. I mean, you have to kind of give praise to Clueless. They made a trend for the entire middle of the country.
So, shopping with Dr. Seuss? Well, at least I wouldn't skin a collie to make my backpack.
It's faux.
So Clueless is pretty great. Movies recently, man.
I've got one, but it's gonna stir up some shit.
No, go.
Crimson Peak. Okay, the costumes in it, like the production design of that movie was, I think, the real star. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I haven't, no.
The production design
of
the movie.
Isn't it scary?
Not really.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There's like some jump scary things.
Oh, then I won't
be
seeing it. So.
But the costumes are really...
I'll watch it on
quite remarkable,
I'll watch it
I would say.
Costumes and makeup and production design are gorgeous.
Yeah,
apparently Guillermo del Toro was intentionally like making her look like a butterfly or something like that with her like big shoulders
like
and
her
stuff
shapes
like that.
Yeah, very much like this, you know, like fluttering out.
Yeah.
And I remember there was like definitely some points, like I like the movie more than some, but there are some parts of the movie where there's some parts of the movie where you know, something dramatic is happening, and I'm just like, oh my God, I just want a robe. Like, I just want that robe.
Uh-huh.
You know? But so I feel like
it's thinking that.
I know. So
that's
a testament to the costume. That's a testament to the costume design overshadowing it. But you know, you can watch some movies for production design. That's like why some people, like, I don't really care about the Hunger Games, but the costuming and the production design mm-hmm. is really wonderful, I think. And
well, the costumes are part of the story too.
Exactly.
So you should be looking at those more so.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's like, I literally, the only reason why I ever want to see the Hunger Games movies personally is because I want to see how those, like, the characters are developed. Like Elizabeth Banks' character Effie mm-hmm. in the Hunger Games is really loud and boisterous, and it's like fun to watch her because of the way she's designed as a character, and that a large part of that is her costuming.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely. A movie, I don't know if I saw it with you, I can't remember, Pan, that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Movie was okay, but there's the scene, I don't think I'm ruining anything, but there's the Tiger Lily scene when we meet Tiger Lily and her family, and the just cohesiveness between the costumes and the production design for her entire village, probably one of the most incredible, like, wow, altogether thing, production design, costume designs that I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was gorgeous. Just every piece of their costume was a piece that you could see that they were able to make from their village in the production design. Because they obviously live off the land and, you know, we're all a small tribe working with each other. So, I mean, that's the only reason I would say see Pan, is the whole Tiger Lily family scene stuff is gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes me think of, like, Lord of the Rings and stuff, because there's so many different tribes and, like, villages and elves and mm-hmm. like beasts and mm-hmm. stuff, and how each one fits into their environment in a very unique way, and how you just know a lot about their culture and who they are just by looking at them and where they're at. And
I remember that blowing my mind when all the behind the scenes came out for that, which I credit a lot of those behind the scenes things for the reason I got so interested in movies.
Absolutely.
But they did all this research on the cultures of each, like, race, mm-hmm. and, you know, what kind of materials would they use, what kind of processes would they use, what iconography is going to be on their stuff.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff you see for 2 seconds, but, like, it makes it feel 300 times more real and more epic and more tactile.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading an article with the costume designer for Game of Thrones, and I don't watch the show, but I mean, I started to, and it's obviously the different families, but there's one of the women on the show, she had an entire, like, chest plate armor that her entire family tree history, they carved into this metal armor that she wore for like 30 seconds.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
And just every piece of armor that family tribe has, all has their family history in every piece of armor that they wear when they go in for battle. And no one can really see that, you know, mm-hmm. This was obviously a close up shot of the stuff in the interview, but yeah, she's done a lot of interviews and talked about just that people, and it's for me too. When I've watched the show, the only way I can track it of who the family members are is because of their costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that. She knows, like, how specific and different every family's costumes have to be, because that's how you're kind of knowing who they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, especially like in, like, a lot of fantasy or, you know, medieval stuff, stories, the culture is tied directly into the clothing, right? That's how you know they're mm-hmm. like family crest, stuff like that. But I was just, every time I think of Lord of the Rings, I just think of the Rohan and how the mm-hmm. horses are a huge part of their culture, and that, you know, they've got the horse manes coming off their helmets. It's just, like, so integrated so beautifully, and it's just, it's almost subconscious when you see it in film, you know, but you know there's like a mark that's left that allows you to track the story and everything, which I think is really, really interesting.
Oh, I was just thinking about this. So when I read season one for VGHS, the script, I don't play video games. I don't, and they used all of the, your husband used all of the, like, FOF, like PSP or whatever, at first FP. And I'm like, I don't know what any of this is. But when I was starting to at least understand what video games were, I wasn't totally following the avatar in the real life thing, just because I don't play games and I wasn't really getting what they were trying to say. But so the only way that I was relating it is when I interviewed with Matt, the first time, I was telling him that as me being a person not playing video games, not totally understanding this, I wanted to give Johanna some sort of, or Jenny Matrix, some sort of necklace that she wore in real life and in the video game, so that people who don't play games necessarily may be able to kind of track that that's the same person and what's happening. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I really like that. Yeah. So Jenny Matrix in all three seasons had a bullet necklace in real life and in the video game. And for me, that was a way to kind of keep track of, oh, that's the same person. Oh, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what first person shooter was. I had no concept of what that meant. So
no, it was a nice touch. I was always like, damn, a bullet?
Yeah. Well, it's also something you don't think about when you're moving between the video game life and the real life, but it's just like, again, that subconscious thing, which I feel like I don't know how much that applies in the other like elements of filmmaking. You know what I mean? It's because it's so visual. I mean, I guess it's like symbols, you know, and anything else. But I think that's...
It's her Rohan horse.
And well, Matt's told me that was why he hired me, so... Good job.
Really?
Yeah, I think, he's been like, I love that detail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Because I didn't understand the script. I don't play video games. And so I don't know really what I offered to the table when I interviewed with them.
Oh, that was perfect.
But he was like, no, that was great.
So, that's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad Matt had the foresight of seeing somebody who understood story and character rather than all the video game references.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it really shows because you really like know your stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the show evolves out of that, too. It's not so much about the video game life. It's about the characters and everything that goes on with them. So, yeah, it doesn't really matter if you know what FPS blah, blah, blah is necessarily.
Yeah. Right.
What other movies should we check out? Like, what should I check out? Because I honestly want to watch more movies.
I mean, I love old movies just because love outfits also. I love, you know, that everyone had the matching shoes and the matching purse, and it's just everything they wore was so much more of an outfit. Is where you don't do that so much anymore for just a couple of reasons. One, we don't dress like that just in life. Obviously our jeans can go with every single shirt we own and vice versa, but it's cheaper to be able to get one pair of jeans in your production that can go with multiple things. Is where they used to, you know, head to toe you'd have an entire outfit that all of those pieces you wouldn't ever cross over to another outfit because it's easier to keep track of continuity. Also, you have have your one outfit and you pull the entire thing out and put it on the person, is where now, because you know, oh well, you wear this sweater a lot, I have to now go get that sweater from that change and put it over with this one, and oh shoot, where's that sweater, we also goes with this change. And so it was for a few reasons, obviously that's how people dressed back then, but just it's cheaper to get, you know, one sweater that you're going to have someone wear several times throughout the film. So I like older ones because there's just the, you can tell that every single piece from head to toe is thought out. Bye Bye Birdie's really good. Bye Bye Birdie's gorgeous.
Why look so awfully tragic? Put on a happy face. Smiling can work like magic. Put on a happy face.
I mean, Mary Poppins is so pretty. What else is?
Those are anything Dick with Van Dyke movies all
I know.
The way. Here we go.
Yeah.
Chitty chitty bang bang. Yeah.
I mean, anything with Barbara Streisand, right. I love.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen Billy Wilder, Sabrina? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like, oh, I love that movie costuming.
I've been trying to think of other films because you mentioned Clueless set a trend for a whole basically decade.
Yeah.
For a, you know, age group for sure. And then I was like, there's the Flashdance cutting of the.
Oh, absolutely.
The sweatshirt.
I was
like, that was a pretty big trendsetter right there. And I'm trying to think of any others that, like, costuming, like, infected the social.
Remember when Marie Antoinette came out? Like, the Sofia Coppola one? There was, like, a lot of, like, editorials in fashion magazines about, like, that, like, aristocratic fashion coming back in.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much that translated into.
Not really.
That was probably just a marketing thing.
Right. It's more of the editorial side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what... I don't feel like I've seen anything recently, so
yeah.
No, what did we see last?
Like Mockingjays and
yeah,
maybe for Halloween.
Well, we saw Straight Outta Compton was the last thing that Lauren and I saw together, and it's that they took things that was another example of something that was set back then, but they were using modern day things, just kind of because that's what the director. It was a director showrunner choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything?
Television too.
Yeah, I was just gonna say television. Is there anything interesting or shows that have stood out to you?
I'm probably more of a TV person than I am a film person. Just I get like really involved in the lives of all the characters in TV, especially sitcoms. That's why I like working in sitcoms. I mean Saved by the Bell, I taught myself continuity from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
And it's more so because I could pick out a jacket that, well, Zach wore a jacket in this episode, and I remember that jacket in another episode later down the road that another character wore. And I mean, there are earrings that I know like different characters wore throughout the series, and I watched it so much that I like taught myself about costume continuity and kind of, I think in my head, learned like what a process might be for costuming. And they I remembered when they would reuse them, and so I was like, oh, they're just like me, like I've worn that outfit twice too. Or even watching episodes of Full House, I would get really excited when I had the same sweatshirt that Stephanie Tanner would have on, because her and I are the same age, and so just we were probably, you know, shopping at Jocelyn's or Made in F, the same places, and so I would just get so excited and be like, I've got that sweatshirt too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I guess TV trends, probably just a recent one that was a really big one, not recent, but Friends. Mm-hmm. It, I mean, obviously the Rachel haircut was a huge thing just with hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But their whole fashion throughout Friends, I think, shaped a culture for sure.
So all 90s right. In the beginning.
So 90s.
So yeah. Aggressively 90s. Right. Yeah.
Well, there's the episode, the one where the he knows that she knows, that one. Mm-hmm. And it's Rachel had on gray slacks and a pale pink 3/4 length button down shirt. And I specifically remember three girls showing up on Friday wearing that outfit.
Wow.
And it was
instant.
And I mean, I then like I had gray pants already, but I remember like wanting to go get a pink button down shirt, and I had to wear that outfit.
That's yeah. So funny. It's cool. Like I was Saved by the Bell. It's like, if people were wearing the same thing, I remember in high school when you bought like a t-shirt or something like that, and then someone else like shows up with it and you're like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, because like we all shop at the same place,
right.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And especially for dudes, it's like, yeah, I went to Target too. You know, like I got that there. You know?
Well, so but you then see, it was like, the same Z Cavarici sweatshirts. And yeah.
I remember the Men in Black sunglasses were a big deal. Weren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
When they were not.
Well, I mean, Tom Cruise yeah. has done the Risky Business sunglasses and the Top Gun sunglasses. Oh, yeah. And yeah. I mean, it's what you wear at that moment when the movie's out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, to kind of wrap it up a little bit, when people are watching movies and watching TV, and what would you have them keep an eye out for and pay attention to if they want to start getting studying costume design? Like, should it be trends, or should it be character, or like, what would you kind
Definitely
of recommend?
Not trends.
Yeah.
Trends are always changing, and trends is somebody's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But keep an eye just like why someone, if someone's going to have a sweater three different times throughout the film, like start to notice that. And you're going to just notice what that character's kind of isms are. Mm-hmm. And of, oh, they only wear cardigan sweaters. You know, instead of just always seeing that someone has a sweater on, but noticing that it's always going to be a cardigan. Or if someone always has Converse on, instead of just, oh, that person has tennis shoes on, noticing like if there's repeat things that someone's doing, so you're getting kind of in the headspace of what the designer was maybe thinking, that what that character's things are. Mm-hmm. So just start like noticing those sort of things of what in common throughout a film a character might be, and you know, becoming to become yeah. that character. Yeah.
And timing as well, like if like someone wears something specific at a specific point in the story.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's a whole different conversation, I feel like, getting into color story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially for thrillers, and actually just randomly, but for a great movie to talk about color story is and now I'm forgetting the name, but it's Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford. It's a thriller.
What Lies
Beneath.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a perfect example of using color story for revealing who the killer is.
Wow. The movie comes up a lot.
Does
yeah,
it?
We talk about it a lot, actually.
It
yeah.
also, but it also does left. We watched it in film school literally right after Citizen Kane.
Wow.
Like we watched Citizen Kane.
Really?
Not film school. I didn't go to film school like these guys did. I went to film class.
Yeah.
But it's Citizen Kane, and they teach you left and right placement and height and power. And right after that, we watched What Lies Beneath, and they do left and right placement and color story. And they show you who the killer is going to be by, like, it follows textbook film school stuff.
Wow.
It Lies Beneath.
Hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But color story is a good thing to just start noticing, and why someone's wearing a certain color. I mean, and if there's stunts, like you're seeing why, if there's a huge crazy action scene with Tom Cruise, you're like, oh, okay, I can see why they put him in a basic denim and jeans, because they probably needed 30 of them. So
yeah.
Stuff like that. Just kind of seeing why they did something and noticing what's going on in the scene. If it's at a formal dinner party, but he has to jump out a window, you know, and just kind of notice what's happening in the scene, and it might start to make sense why people are wearing what they're wearing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and the background, the production design. I mean, Titanic, they did a lot of, they actually did do wardrobe tests, so they could see every wardrobe that people would be wearing in front of what background they would be wearing, as we're just, a lot of times, shows don't have time to do that. And so you often, you know, have worn, established a look that they're going to be wearing in several scenes, and you get to a certain scene, and the shirt is the same color as the restaurant wall. But, I mean, you've already shot at the restaurant, you've already shot the shirt, so you can't change it. So a lot of films don't have time to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But when you actually do have time to do that, it's pretty great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Like, yeah. I definitely want to have you back again, because I think Color Story is really interesting, and just talking more in-depth about that kind of stuff. But I feel like this is a really good, like, primer to get people interested.
Yeah.
So,
just, I guess mute a movie. Put it on mute so that you're not, you know, entangled in the story.
Yeah.
And then you are looking at the production design also, and the costumes and the lighting. I mean, everything. You could actually,
that would actually be really interesting to see if you can follow what's going on with the character by just looking at the costumes. That would be really interesting.
I watched Sixth Sense on mute because I scared me, and it was not scary on mute.
I just recently watched that. It's just a good exercise to watch a movie, see how it's visually told, and costume just plays directly.
Are we allowed to say that?
What? Say what? Yeah.
Tip jar?
I don't know about tip jar yet.
No, I think they haven't said a lot about that.
Okay.
Yeah. We can talk about it again.
Really cool later. Stuff is coming.
Yeah. I really wish we could start talking about Hulu.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Almost.
But, almost there, guys. Be excited.
One exercise, I don't know, this might be fun for people at home. One exercise I was thinking about doing when we were doing the LA PL workshops is design an outfit or character at three different times in a movie. So it's like, if you have a story, what does your character look like at the beginning, and at what would he wear in the middle during the conflict, and what would he wear at the end?
That's a great one.
And you can do that with like magazine cutouts or printed pictures online, or I know people use Polyvore. You can pick out stuff from online and make an online collage just in your computer.
We could sketch it.
So if you guys want to like do that for extra credit, whoever's listening to the podcast, you have some homework.
Yeah. A good example movie to watch to really see a great story arc is Erin Brockovich. It's a really good one to just see a really dramatic character arc. And then you could be like, okay, let me now do this one. Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Erin Brockovich is a good one.
Great.
Well, thanks, Lane.
Did you say slut?
I said sweet.
Sweet.
Slut. No.
Total.
She's a cool lady.
Yeah.
She ain't no slut.
I remember liking that movie a lot.
Yeah. Water.
Right. Well, I think that wraps it up. If you guys have extra questions, you can hit us up on the forums, or you can find Lane on Twitter, and it's at Lane McGovern.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yes, on the Twitters.
We'll post a link.
Yeah.
But you like answering questions and stuff about...
Oh yeah, on Twitter. I have like 20 followers, so I'll definitely get your question.
But yeah, thanks guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you next time.
Bandy and Bantaboo.
Thanks, Lane. Thanks, Penny.
Smack it in.
Thanks, Penny.